Good to see everybody. Go ahead, grab a seat. Yay, Jesus. Hey, we're going to take a moment here at the beginning. Tony mentioned them. They're obvious. These boards with names on them. We're going to take a moment to pray as a congregation. Is that all right? I want to remind you of something as we do this. The victory belongs to Jesus. That the labor has to do with our belief, not stirring up some sort of activity. It's the following through with our faith. It's believing that the Lord's victory really is enough to redeem not just you, but your family. And sometimes when we carry people in our heart, when we care so much, especially if you're a mom or dad, if you have a child that's not walking with the Lord, there's this sort of weightiness to that, where you're crying out for the Lord to touch their life, and if you're not careful, what can happen is that can become a burden that feels weighty, and that you begin to strive in your soul to somehow achieve. But that's not how victories happen. Victories happen by simple faith in what Jesus has already done. The Lord loves your family, your friends, more than you do. And he wishes that none should perish. The Lord is after, hot after your friends and family. And so that's why we bring their names before him, because he absolutely is wanting to touch their lives and bring transformation. And our prayers are a part of facilitating that taking place. Are you alive? Okay, so I don't want you to carry it as a burden, as somehow that you're sweating through this thing or shadow boxing the enemy, all right? We work from victory. Much better just to realize that Jesus has paid the price and receive what he's done than try to somehow achieve something, okay? All right, so Father in heaven, in that spirit, we come before you right now in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we bring before you our lost loved ones, our friends, those who do not know you or need to return, Lord, because they have become wayward, carnal, Lord. We're asking in these days, Holy Spirit, that your kindness would bring them to change their mind, that your kindness, Lord, would cause them to repent. Lord, that you would cause them to come back into their right mind, that they would remember who you say that they are. Lord, that something would be stirred on the inside of them, that you would hem them in on every side, that you'd cause other believers to find them and come across their paths, that every time they turn around, it's some, maybe they turn on the TV and there's a Christian evangelist preaching the gospel. Maybe they click a link and there's the gospel being blasted at them. Lord, on every side, would you surround them with your goodness? Lord, that they would come to realize and come to know how much you love them. And Lord, that you touch them in these days, that these would be the days of harvest. So Lord, we just agree and we decree that these are the days that they will come to know you. So Lord, we pray over every one of these names, every single one of them, Father, and decree this in Jesus' name. If you agreed with that, amen. Come on. And Lord, would you bless our time together? We consecrate it holy unto you. Holy Spirit, would you speak in and through us today? Amen. Amen, amen. There's a couple things that I'm hoping to do today. The first is talk big picture for a moment. I think it's very helpful that when you are busy doing your things and focused on what God's put in front of you, that sometimes we need to be reminded of the big picture of how our little thing is connected to something much larger than us. It's really easy to get focused in on just, you know, what's consuming your life and lose sight of what God's doing in the planet, what God's doing on large scale. I've found this to be very helpful, that when I am working on my stuff and I'm getting fixed in on my journey, that when the Lord reminds me of the big picture, It helps me to have value for others. It helps me to have purpose, a greater purpose for what I'm doing, because I can see how it's connected. And it gives me energy. I just find that vision fuels me. And so we're going to do that today. We're going to look at the big picture, and then we're going to go the opposite direction, and we're going to zero in on what you are called to, specifically you. We're going to ask some questions today and ask the Holy Spirit to remind us and to help us see and recognize what our individual callings are. Not in general. I'm talking about you. We have a school ministry here at the house. And this last year, we chose that we were not going to be launching the school this coming year. And that we did that all before quarantine. And the Holy Spirit just said, hey, you're not going to be doing school. It turned out he was right, right? We're not going to be doing school. So we paused on the school of ministry. But one of the things that we do in the school of ministry is help people figure out what they are called to. And so I'm going to attempt in the minutes remaining in this time to give you an entire year's worth of the school of ministry. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit for help. And we're going to figure out who God made you to be, all right? Who you are called to. Amen? All right, so if you're going to believe with me for that miracle, would you put a hand on your heart right now? Holy Spirit, would you speak to us? Lord, cause each individual who you've made them to be, cause it to shine within them today. Holy Spirit, remind each person of what you have said already. Help them to see what the path, where it's heading, Lord. Help them to connect their reality of who you've made them to be with the big picture. And Lord, give us aid today, strong aid, Lord. And we trust in you for that, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. All right, now aim your hands up here and help Pastor Jamie. All right, there you go. Amen. All right, big picture. If you got a Bible, if you open up to Matthew chapter 28, you're going to know this as the Great Commission. It is the big picture. It's the what are we here for, okay? You got saved, and he didn't take you home right away, so there must be a purpose, right? Otherwise, just get saved and die. If all we're living for is heaven, if there's no reason for us here on earth, then what's the point, right? No, there is a point. There's reason why God left us here. We have a role. This is Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus came up to them and spoke and said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations." Okay, what's the finish line? It's that all the nations would come into alignment with heaven. Amen. All people groups would come to know God's ways. All people groups would be aligned with heaven's purpose. That no one would just be milling about. Selfish intention would be gone away, but that everyone would be fueled. All the nations. Policies would be driven by kingdom agenda. Right? Governments would be in alignment with heaven's will, not just selfish pursuits. Come on, does that make anybody happy to think that this is what the Lord's doing? This is what the Lord's doing. How does he do it? He does it through us, through people. He does it through individuals. He does it through corporate bodies. He's doing it currently in the world right now. This is not something that will happen someday. It's something that is taking place right now. I had this experience with God, and I find the picture, what the experience is helpful in understanding this, but or to see it a little bit more clearly. I was in a time of prayer, and as I was praying, I began to see this vision, a picture. And it was really vivid. And so I'm looking at this. I'm in this place of prayer, and I begin to see this thing. And the more I sort of looked or concentrated on what I was seeing, the more vivid it became. You know, almost like like you see in Revelation where John, the Apostle John, is in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, it says, and he sees a door open up, and then he hears a voice say, "Why don't you come on up here? I want to show you some things." Right? That's a pretty trippy thing to take place. Yeah? I mean, if that happened to you, what would be your response? Okay, but I want you to notice something about that situation. John was in the Spirit. In other words, he's communing with the Lord. And then a door of revelation opened up. In other words, there's more information available. And the voice from the other side said, "Hey, I got some things to show you, but you are going to have to come up here to see it. You are going to have to go through that door. You are going to have to perceive beyond what you are perceiving right now." In other words, John's experience was only the invitation. He was going to have to do something to see more. I can't tell you how many believers I know that will have miniature visions. It's like you're praying, you get a little snapshot, something races through your head, an idea, a picture. Has that ever happened to anybody? Like a stray thought. You're like, "Boy, why did I think of that? That's kind of weird. I wonder if that was God," right? Those moments, those are open doors. Those are invitations to go further. There's more to see. God was just showing you the open door. Now it's up to you to walk through it. In the prophets, there's a little side lesson here. I told you we're going to do a whole school ministry year, so here we go, right? In the prophets, we read many times where the prophet saw something, and then he looked to see, and then he looked to see again, and then he looked to see again. In other words, it was like this unveiling. There was one layer of revelation. "Oh, I see it. That's what God's saying." But it was the invitation to press in more. So you keep looking to see, because there's more that will be revealed. I want to tell you that your life in God can go much, much deeper, much, way more supernatural than you're experiencing right now. It's all an invitation to go further. It's up to you whether you're going to say yes to that invitation. So there I was. I started to see a picture. I started looking further. I leaned into it, and what I saw was this. I've shared this before in this place, but I need to share it again. I started seeing these points of light, and in the vision, I knew it was nighttime, and these lights, they weren't natural lights. They were the light of heaven inside of people, and some of them were bright, bright, bright. Some of them were a little more faded or dull, but light nonetheless. In this vision, I recognized that when I would think of a person, I would see their light. Or I thought of a church, and boom, there's the light of God that's radiating from that church. And what I noticed about this is that the further I got up, the more that I could see clearly that how light disseminated, how if you were in that person's life, the first layer of people that are around them, that the light on your life is impacting the people that you directly touch in a bright way. I mean, really impacting people. If you said to me today, "Pastor Jamie, I haven't been walking with God. I don't think that I'm affecting anything. I can't tell you." I am here to say to you that no. When the light of heaven came into your life and you got illuminated by Jesus, you are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Okay? You can't take your lamp and hide it under a bowl. That's not, you remember the kid's story? Hide it under a bushel. No, right? The answer is no, you can't. Okay? In the spirit, you can't. The spirit world sees it, sees your light. You cannot hide it, and that light, that revelation, is affecting people. The people that are directly around you that see your good deeds and therefore glorify God in heaven, let your light shine in such a way that people see your good deeds. The people that are around you, they recognize the God in you. They recognize your light. They see how you affect them directly. That is all happening. What was sometimes hard to recognize, though, is the lasting impact it makes beyond that. Your light is impacting people, but there is another layer of revelation that's touching others that you will never even come to know. So there you are, you walk into the bank, it's a long line. Oh my goodness, everybody's wearing masks. It's just, you know, when's the last time you went to the bank, actually? There you are, though, you're standing in line, you get up to the counter, and you have this interaction, and God has been in you, and you're kind, you're really kind to that person. And you don't realize how bad of a day they've been having. And so you smile with your eyes, because you can't see your smile. You're kind to them, though, and this kindness, okay? The light of God is shining. It's touching that person's life. In the spirit, I wish you could see it in the spirit. In the spirit, light, the revelation of God's kindness, his goodness, is what causes people to change their mind. This kindness is touching that person, and she gets affected by it. And you didn't see the bad day that happened before that, but her disposition changes because of your interaction with her. The light touched her, she got transformed. What you didn't recognize beyond that, though, is that that person walked away and then they interacted with a whole bunch of people that day. And the light of God that brought a transition in her moment that day when you interacted, she carried that into the rest of her interactions that day. And the light of God, the goodness of God, was shining from them to touch other people. Believer or not. You are changing the world whether you like it or not. What I've come to realize is that, and in this revelation, this vision, what I saw was the circles of light, the impact. You know, there were some that were intentionally reaching to the nations, and there were others that weren't. But that the circles of light were overlapping each other. And God's light and revelation of his goodness and kindness was covering the earth as the waters do the sea. This is not a future prophecy. This is something that's being fulfilled right now. God's kindness and his goodness, his light, the revelation of Jesus, that great light has come already. And that light continues to shine through people. Now, every one of us have a calling in God. The corporate calling is that we are to disciple the nations, the world. But how does an individual disciple the world? That's like, it's so big that you almost just feel the weight of it and then just feel bad. Like, I don't know how to do that, so I guess this is just one of those things that how do you disciple a nation? If you have an answer for that, I'm telling you, you're wrong. There's no like pithy little answer of how you disciple a nation. You are gonna have a very difficult time accomplishing the Great Commission, because the Great Commission is for all of us together to be doing. Are you alive? Okay. But in that, I find that we have individual races that we're running. Like, there are things that I'm called to that you're probably not called to. There are people that you have great impact on that if I showed up in your circle, people would be like, who is this dude? Like, and there's no relation there. There's no connected. Like, the people you are called to influence and have great influence in, I probably have minimal influence in. But we together, doing what God's called us to do, taking seriously what your race is. If you take your race, what you're supposed to do seriously, and I take what I'm supposed to do seriously, the light of God's revelation will cover the world as you and I individually do what each of us are called to do. So what's important is that you keep in mind the Great Commission because it includes everyone. No one group is right and then everyone else we don't need. We tried that. Denominationalism did not work. Anyone want to go back to denominations? Come on. One party that's right and the other ones that are wrong, that ain't how it works. You know better than that. So we're not isolating from one another. We're embracing the revelation of Christ within each other. Okay. What's important here is that you keep in mind the big picture, but that you come to realize your calling. You have to take seriously your race, the course that God has you on. You have a group of people that your voice, when you talk, it impacts them in a unique way. And the Lord has set you up to be significant in that group of people's world. And so it's important that we come to discover that. Now, as I talk with believers, I ask this question. I'll say, what are you called to? What is God calling you to do? What's your race? What does the Lord put on your heart? What are you supposed to be about in this season? And what I found is a general sort of guilt. Like, people don't know, and so they aim at sort of Christian everything. Right? Like, I go to church, and I love, and I kind things, and I worship. Right? And, but if I said, okay, Jesus at the end of your life is going to quantify this thing, and he's going to go, I called you to XYZ, and where's the fruit? And if Jesus is going to quantify this thing, then I would suggest that you do so as well. Amen. Come to be sure. There's a leadership statement. I say it all the time. But if you aim at everything, you'll hit nothing. So the general commission to the body of Christ cannot be your sole mission in life, because it's not specific enough to hold you accountable to your call. It has to become more specific. So what are you called to? Let's discover it. Amen? Let's do this. I want to read this statement. I believe that God is raising up modern day prophets who will be watchmen on the wall. They see God's purpose and declare it out boldly so that future generations will know the Lord's will and purposes. These modern day prophets are very much like Daniel. God strategically positions them in places of influence so they perceive what heaven is saying and they can give wisdom and counsel to navigate the days ahead. Now, why is that important? Because some of you are them, and God has strategically placed you, and you know it, and you should not shy back from that calling. You should embrace it and head full on into it. Don't be ashamed of where God's positioned you. Own it, baby. Do your thing, okay? In Daniel's day, he looked like a traitor. He was advising the king that killed most of Israel and enslaved everybody else. He was his right-hand man. That's what the Jews would have thought of Daniel. But we know from history, hindsight, that Daniel was one of the more strategic people that God had in his army. Don't let other people's opinions of who you are, where you are, sway you from fulfilling your calling. You do your thing. I had a good friend of mine who was a pastor who also was the lead singer of a heavy metal hardcore band. Full-on screamo band, okay? And I love this story. They were in a club, and it's not a Christian club, okay? They're a hardcore band, and everyone there, I mean, it's drugs, it's rock and roll, it's hardcore. Imagine, just just this sea of people, and it's really, really intense. And my friend Tommy gets up, and he goes, microphone check, microphone check. Hey, can you all hear me? Can you hear me in the back? If you can hear me in the back, go like this. Like, and people in the back are like, yeah, because he was just doing this. It's like a bit, right? He goes, hey, can you hear me in the back? Go like this. Right? And so the people in the back are like, yeah, man, we can hear you. They put your thumbs up, and he's like, can you hear me up front? Can you go like this? Everybody go like this. And so he's got the whole room pointing up. All right, let's just do this. All right, whole room pointing up, right? And he goes like, he's like, are you sure? Can you hear me? All right, if you can hear me, go like this. All right, point down. Okay, can you hear me right now? You should point down. Okay, there you go. Okay, now this is the start of a hardcore show, okay? And then he goes, I just want you to know, you all just invited heaven to earth. And then they kick into their set, okay? You know, and they're a hard, screamo band. Okay, if you're like in a denominational Christian mindset, it's going to be really difficult to hear my friend Tommy talk about Jesus. You're going to, but God had strategically placed him to reach that subset of people who, if you showed up there and tried to preach Jesus, might not work out so well. But you know, after every one of those shows, they planted a church. They would lead people to the Lord, and they'd have them gather at the front, and they go, listen, y'all need to keep gathering after we leave. They place somebody in charge, they go away. Planted churches all over the world by doing that. That's different. You need to know your section, your race, okay? God strategically placed you. Watchmen on the wall. Each one of us is supposed to be one. There's this concept in the scriptures of a watchman on the wall. It's an actual thing that would take place. They would place guards to stand on top of the walls of cities to look for invading armies coming, smoke on the horizon, dust coming up from the road, those kinds of things to warn people that trouble is coming, right? They're the watchmen on the wall. The prophets used that metaphor to talk about people praying and being watchful. This is Isaiah 62. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. So they take the concept of a watchman and they go, okay, in the natural, that's a guard guarding a city. In the spirit, this is a person who is looking to see what God is doing to make sure it happens in the earth. They see what God's doing and then they declare to it, they speak to it until it's manifested. This is what we've been talking about the last several weeks here. You are an intercessor. You are a prophetic intercessor. You see what God is saying and then you declare it. You pray into it. You saw the whole I engage thing, that texting thing. What that's about is about you identifying where has God called you to and where are you going to be taking your place on the wall? Who are you called to? Where are you praying? What are you specifically standing guard to make sure that what heaven is saying is going to take place in that group of people? They're not going to miss out because God has assigned you to them. That group of people that's on these boards, that's what this is a little bit. It has been where you have said, nope, these people are going to come to know the Lord. You wrote them down on a piece of paper. You put them up on that board. And we are reminding the Lord that he saves households, not just individuals. But your job is to keep their names before the Lord. Why? Because God wants them to be saved too. And it's powerful. Your prayers change things. You need to be praying. Okay, beyond your lost loved ones and friends, though, What are you called to? What's your calling? Who are you called to? What spot on the wall is yours to make sure that heaven invades earth over that section of society, over that people group, over that nation, over that neighborhood, over that city? Where's your place on the wall? That's the question today. What is your calling? I have a few questions that I think will be helpful in discovering. You ready to take this exam? They're self-identifying questions. There's not going to be homework or anything like that, okay? So, whew. I'm not going to embarrass you or ask you to stand up and say anything out loud. These are just things for you to take note of yourself, but try to answer them along the way here, okay? So you got to put your brain back turned on. Here we go. This is Habakkuk 2, verses 1 through 3. Habakkuk 2, verses 1 through 3. This is what the prophet said. I'll stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, so the place on the wall, a watchman, and I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision. Inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It hastens towards the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it certainly will come. It will not delay. Now, there's a lot here. We're not going to be able to unpack it all, but the core concept is this. The prophet took his place on the wall to look to see what God would say. And God told him, you need to write these things down and inscribe them because they're not for this moment. They're for a future moment. See, the Lord wants to reveal things to you about the future of an industry, about the future of your kids, about the future of people, about the future of stuff you care about. He's talking to you about it. I'd like to propose that's why you care about it. It's in your heart already, but when you recognize, I think I'm supposed to be intentionally doing this, then what you do is you position your heart to look to see what God would say concerning that people, concerning that industry, concerning your work. You are intentionally positioning yourself on the wall to see what God is saying about your workplace. But this becomes also one of the ways that you identify what has God called you to. Okay? Because sometimes the Holy Spirit begins to talk to you about people and about situations before you realize that that's what he's called you to. So one of the ways to discover your calling is simply to take note on what the Holy Spirit talks to you about. What has God revealed prophetic insight to you about? Does he talk to you about people? Does he give you insights into situations that people are facing? Does God give you prophetic insight about situations, about maybe a type of industry or workplace? Does he, what? Those are clues that God has calling for you there, that's your place on the wall because that is what God's revealing to you. Are you alive? So first way that we come to know our calling, or one of the ways, is by simply taking note about what does God talk to us about? Who does God talk to us about? Where do you have prophetic insight? Where do you have revelation concerning something that others don't? Where's God tipped his hand and said, hey, check this out, I want to show you something. The scripture says, surely God does nothing in the earth unless he speaks to his prophets about it first. Chances are that God talks to you about what he's going to do in those people's lives before he does it, because that's your calling. Amen? All right, come on, here we go. I remember the first time this happened to me. It's not the last. This has happened to me many times since, but the first time is always the one that sticks out, right? My son and I were flying to the Philippines, and we were visiting Paul Yadao and their ministry. We got an invitation to go over there and to minister in that nation. It was a great privilege to go and do that. Josiah, my son, who's 17 now, was only 8 years old then. And there we are flying into Manila. We touch down, and as the plane touches down in Manila in the Philippines, the Holy Spirit says to me, "I have called you as a prophet to this nation." I was like, cool. I don't know what that means. Like, what does that mean? So, you know, like, first stop is like a bath store to get a robe and a staff and walk around. "I've called you as a prophet to this nation." Like, I don't know what I do now, right? So I didn't know what to do, so I didn't do anything. I'm like, all right, cool, God. Okay, right? This is what began to happen, and it freaked me out. We would be in conversations, having dinner with somebody, and I'm generally I'm witty in conversation. I like being sarcastic. I like drawing a joke out of a moment. I like taking and pointing out tension, because it's like it's there and everybody knows it, but no one wants to talk about it, and I'll make light of it somehow, right? And so I'm just sort of being me, and you know, we're having fun at the tables, but I would like crack a joke, and like one or two people would chuckle, and then it was like crickets. Like, oh, is this cultural? Like, we don't do this here? I don't know. But come to find out that I had just revealed something that they were struggling with, or it was a word of knowledge. And no one had said anything. I had perceived something that hadn't been said. And then I was cracking a joke about it. So the people were like freaking out, because how would you know that? Okay, and so there I was, just being me and just rolling with it, and whatever I would say, however, I like couldn't miss prophetically. Just like crack, hit them out of the park. I would say things and it would accidentally be like the word of the Lord for that person. You know, someone breaks down crying and I'm like, oh my gosh, what happened? Okay? This is what happens when your voice gets around, maybe to lesser degrees or different manifestations probably, but when your voice gets around the people that God's called you to impact. Because when you get around them, there's a weightiness to your voice, because God's glory is manifesting in your light for them. So maybe right now you're not making huge impact. It might be because you're just talking to the wrong people. Maybe you're stuck someplace and you're actually called someplace else. And you know it, but you're holding on to this because it feels like security. But really, you're supposed to let go and go get after what God told you to get after. Okay. One of the ways is God talks to you about those people, okay? Second thing that takes place is compassion. Now, I want to talk you through something, though, because there are three concepts here. Compassion, responsibility, and authority. And all of them link together. When we think about somebody in charge, they're the ones with authority. What we don't like to think about, especially if you're a person that wants to be in charge, is the responsibilities that come with being in charge. Right? Everybody wants to be the boss. Nobody wants to be in trouble when it doesn't work out. Right? So you have authority, but authority is always accompanied by responsibility. Okay? How does a person become to grow? How do they grow in their authority? The answer in a workplace environment is that you take on more responsibility. If you take on more responsibility, your authority grows. It's also that way in the kingdom. This is Luke 19. Luke 19, verse 17. Jesus said, this is a parable. Jesus, the boss gave a portion of money to each one of these three people, and now he's come back and he's holding them accountable. He says to the first one, "Well done, good slave. Because you have been faithful in a very little thing, responsible with the very little thing, you are to be in authority over 10 cities. You demonstrated that you're willing to be responsible, so I'm going to give you more authority. That's how it works. It's how it works in the kingdom. It's how it works in the world. But if you have not, like if you're not in an authority in some place, but you feel called to influence a people, like how do you get there? What's the path? The path is through compassion. The path is through caring. It is that you feel called to a people, and so you care. And maybe that care came because the Holy Spirit did a work in your heart. Maybe it came because you noticed that some stuff wasn't happening the way it was supposed to happen. Maybe you noticed there was great need, and so you cared. You had compassion, and so you began to do something. And then you realize that no one else is doing it, so you just chose, I'm going to keep feeding people. I'm going to keep caring. I'm going to keep. And what you didn't realize is that you are now being faithful to something that you care about. So you've become responsible. People have now begun to depend on you. Okay? And hand in hand with responsibility comes authority. If you care for people and you're responsible towards them, it will not be very long at all before they're asking you to play a role in their life. So your compassion often is it's like a compass that points you at where you're supposed to have authority, where God's calling you to have great influence. So let me ask you the question, what do you care about? What do you have an unusual grace to deal with people's problems in? Like if you and I sat down and you're talking with somebody, right? And you're like, oh, I love you. Praise God. He's with you, brother. And I'm over here like, dude, what is that dude's problem? Right? Two different experiences. Right? One person has tons of mercy and grace for this situation and another person doesn't. Okay, what would others say? Like, man, you got a lot of grace towards that type of person. Your compassion is like a compass. It's pointing at the area where you should grow in responsibility because God wants to give you authority. If you're faithful in it to care, to be compassionate, to demonstrate his heart, then he'll give you authority to rule. Amen. Come on, you got this. Okay, what else? All right, I love this one. Past wins, like winning. Anybody in here competitive? I like to win. I do. I have made it a practice. I do not play board games that I don't win. When I want to feel good about myself, I challenge my youngest daughter to chess. I like winning. All right? Okay, when you're talking about your calling, can I tell you that God has been setting your life up? I mean, your whole life. And he knows what he has called you to. And so he has gone into your history and has prearranged good works for you to walk in, opportunities, experiences for you to win at, because he's already determined you are victorious and you are going to overcome in this area. So he goes ahead and he sets you up for the win. So if you thought about it a little bit, you could look at your life and come to recognize places, times, situations that you win at, where you demonstrated fruit, where there was a victory. God set you up, baby. Amen. He set you up, and he's still setting you up. Amen. And so he goes into your future to set you up so that you will have victory. And when we take notice, though, of where those victories are, that's where it begins to tell a story. Yeah. So who are you called to? Chances are you have some wins there. What industry are you called to? Where is you have some wins there. You just got to recognize them. So add up the winds. It's pointing at something, all right? God is, he goes into your future to set you up for wins. He's been doing it your whole life. You know, you remember King David? The story of how David becomes king just tells this. He's going to have to face Goliath, and killing the giant is going to put him into the royal family. King Saul is going to become his father-in-law. He's going to eat at the royal table from this day forward. He's like set up. He becomes the captain of the armies of the Lord, right? But before that, David's a shepherd boy. He's a nobody. He's not even invited when the prophet comes over for dinner. He's the bastard son of Jesse, probably not actually the mom's son. It's probably a handmaiden or something. He is not pretty. It says he's ruddy. He's a little runt. No one even thinks about him when the prophet shows up and wants to anoint the next king. No one even thinks about him. David gets anointed king. What happens to David? God starts setting him up with previous victories. He's calling him towards Goliath. What takes place before Goliath? David's out there in the field, and there comes a bear to kill the sheep. What's David do? Grabs his sling, slays down that bear with a stick and a rock. Come on. That's a setup. That's a victory. The lion comes. David kills the lion. Now it's Goliath. And when people challenge him and go, what makes you think you can take Goliath? This is what David points to. He points to his wins. He goes, I killed the bear. I killed the lion. I'm going to take that sucker down too. All of it was setting him up to be king. His calling had previous victories. So does yours. So does yours. Next one, another way to sort of discover calling or who God's called you to be a champion, a prophetic warrior, intercessor. Where is your place on the wall? Another thing is what's in your hand. What are the tools God's given you? You know, when God called Moses and said, Moses, you're going to deliver my people. You're going to be the leader. You're going to be the shepherd of my people. Moses saying, I'm not qualified. I can't do this. What will I even say is my reason for going there? And God says, you're going to tell them I sent you. Well, how will they believe me? God says, what's in your hand, Moses? It's a shepherd's staff. Take the staff and throw it on the ground. He throws it on the ground, it becomes a snake. Right? Becomes a snake. God says, pick up that snake. This is how you know that Moses was not from Minnesota. Nope, no poisonous snakes in Minnesota. That's why we live here. Right? We're smart. It's the common denominator why all of us live in Minnesota. It's because there's no poisonous snakes. Okay? God says, Moses, pick up the snake. Moses goes down. He grabs the snake, and it immediately turns back into the staff. And the staff has gone from being Moses' staff to being God's staff. Right? What's in your hand, Moses? God uses Moses' natural job, his role, what he's good at. Moses shepherds sheep. He's done it for 40 years. That's what he does. And God says to him, you are going to be a shepherd to my people. He uses what is in Moses' hand as the metaphor to help Moses realize what he's called to. It's not that Moses is going to shepherd the people the same way he shepherds sheep. I know that there's lots of crossovers and we can use it as a, you know, we can keep the metaphor going. I don't think it has to. I think it's simple. I think God looks at the skills you have and goes, why don't you use those for me? You do internet sites. Well, maybe you're called to promote the gospel. Like God will use what's in your hand to talk to you about what he's called you to. The key is let the Holy Spirit interpret it, not you. Don't try to figure it out. Just ask him. Just ask him. Like, God, this is what's in my hand. What do you say about it? Who do you say I am? Let the Holy Spirit talk to you about you. I think you'll be amazed at what he says. I've always been into alternative sports. Snowboarding, skateboarding, if we were live near the ocean, I would for sure be a surfer. But lakes don't really support that. You know, water sports, all that, like all of it. Alternative sports, love them. Good on boards, really good on boards. And I don't think ever in my life that I am going to snowboard for Jesus. I don't think I'm going to become a professional snowboarder and then I'm going to use that platform to... I don't think of snowboarding that way, but can I tell you that the Lord has used that as my metaphor a lot? That God said, I've called you to surf big waves, ever-changing environments where you will never be stable, but you on the board are stable. I've called you to stand in places no one else could stand because it's way too unstable. It's way too dangerous. No one else could do it, but I've called you to. See, God uses the metaphor of what's in my hand to talk to me about who he says I am. What's in your hand? Ask him. God, what do you say about this? Who do you say I am? What's my calling, Lord? This is what's in my hand. What's in your hand? Take inventory. Bring it before the Lord. Let him interpret it. I think you'll be amazed, actually, what he says. It'll shift your destiny. Amen. There's two left, and they're both short. One of them, though, is not fun. So I'll do that one now. Okay, nobody likes tension. Nobody does. If someone says they like tension, no one, the awkward, the pain of it, the not knowing how something is going to turn out, nobody likes that. But your calling will always, okay, the gravitational pull of your calling on your life is going to put you in places of dynamic tension. The glory of God is going to draw you into impossible situations. The reason is because your calling is to bring breakthrough for that people or that situation, or you are the one who's going to bring breakthrough. So it's an impossible situation. You are either going to break down and everything's going to fall apart, or you're going to break through and there's going to be a glorious victory. And your calling is putting you there. So we're in this meeting today and we're all going, Lord, what are you calling me to? Okay. And at the same time, maybe in worship, you were praying about that dynamic tension situation that you're praying. Oh God, deliver me. Lord Jesus, please take that person out of my life. Lord Jesus, just end this job. Take me home. You're thinking about the stuff you are loathing. You don't want to go back to it because it's full of tension. You don't want to face it. It's not fun. None of that. You're going to break down if I have to face it again, Lord. And you've been praying that God would put you there by asking him to fulfill your calling. By seeking him and stepping up to be the person you're called to be, he's slamming you into that situation because you're either going to break down or break through, and he put you there to set you up for the victory. You're not going to fail. You're not going to fail. Maybe there's past failures. That's not your future. You got to just embrace who God called you to be and step into this bad boy. Okay? We are not those who run from storms. Last one has to do with honor, value. What do others see about you? Okay? So ask the question of some of the people that are close to you. Hey, what do you value about me? What do you see in me? What do you think I'm called to? It's a powerful question. It can lead to intimacy and connectedness with friends. It's fun. It really is powerful. It also demands what do people have value for about you. So you're going to notice that people come to you in a certain situation. And they're drawn to you because of that certain situation. Like, you're good at whatever that is. And so people have honor for that in you, and they come to you. Why? Because you actually have an anointing from God to face that situation, and they know if they come to you, they're going to get victory. So where do other people demonstrate honor towards you? No one gets to fulfill their calling alone. All of us need help. So you're going to find also that some of your friendships will be with people that are called in a similar way, because you're called together, not just as an individual. And you have commonality in the spirit, and so the Lord's brought you together so that you can champion one another and get it done together. Are you alive? You're not supposed to be alone. You get to do it together. So the question, though, is what do others honor or value about you? Because that's pointing at who you're called to, what you're called to, all that. All right, let me summarize real quick. Every person has a place. Every person has a calling. It is all a part of fulfilling the Great Commission of seeing the kingdoms of this world come into alignment with the kingdoms of our God in Christ. All of it is being summed up in the person of Jesus. And you and I have a role. Our role is to disciple people. It's to walk with people. It's to minister and love, to demonstrate the light of God to people. But who are you called to? Where? Where are you bringing alignment with heaven? What's your calling? Because every person has a role to play. We discover that by what God says to you. What is your calling? Who does God talk to you about? Who does God give you prophetic insight for? Another way is unusual compassion. Another way is by looking at past wins, the impact you've had. Another way is by looking at what resources God's put in your hand and letting him interpret it. The dynamic tensions and the honor that people give to you all point at who he called you to be, your race. How do you step from where you're at into it? How do you start the race? You gotta own it. You gotta own this thing. You know, one of the reasons why we do that text, I engage, is literally because you have to declare it. You gotta own it. You gotta take your place on the wall. If you're called to a people, you should say it. You should say, I'm called to this people. And it's seasonal, it's not forevermore. Okay, it could just be for this moment, but for sure, God is moving in you to touch that group of people. You should own it. Why should you own it? So you can take your stand. Because if you don't believe it, how are you going to move in faith and see heaven invade earth? It requires faith. Somebody has got to own something. You got to take responsibility. Go, Lord, I'm going to care about and for and demonstrate your compassion for this group of people. I'm going to do that. I'm owning it. I'm owning responsibility, and the Lord's going to release authority to you because of it. But you have to actually, you got to step up to the plate. That text thing is about stepping up to the plate. It's about name it. So you're called to the wall. Awesome. Then you should be able to say, I'm called to that group of people. I'm praying for that group of people. This is my calling. I'm going after this one. We can map this thing out. We can see where we have coverage, where we're drawing the net of harvest in the Twin Cities, where that group of people, that hardcore group, and my friend Tommy can reach, you're going after them. We can see it. You have your place on the wall. Who you called to? When you answer that question, there's a commission waiting for you, a heavenly commission that has an anointing attached to it. You'll see power, you'll see signs, you'll see all that stuff. It happens as you step into who God called you to be. Would you stand to your feet today? Yahoo! Come on, are you excited? When you figure out this thing, man, it gets you energized. You get to prune away all that other stuff that's clinging to you. You don't need to feel guilty about other people shaming you into activities. That's not what I'm called to in this season. Boop, put up the boundary and get your thing done. The Lord loves each one of us so much. He really and truly does. You know, if you came in here today, you said to me, Pastor Jamie, I don't know why, but I have felt a dynamic tension between what I know is my calling and what I am currently doing. And for some reason, I feel trapped and unable to go for what I know I'm called to do. But because I've grabbed hold of something else, I don't know how to transition over. If that's you, would you just wave at me right now? I want to pray for you. Yeah, lots of people. Listen, you're not alone. Many, many, many have been here before. This is about drawing the line in the sand and saying, okay, Lord, I'm agreeing with who you say I am. I'm letting go and I'm stepping forward. It doesn't have to happen with an I quit and you just run away. Don't do that. The Lord will transition you, but it starts with the amen in you. So that's what we're going to do right now. If that was you, I want you to just lift your hands with me right now, all across the room. Father in heaven, we present ourselves before you right now. And Lord, I'm asking right now for the mighty hand of deliverance. Lord, we have tied ourselves to things that are not what you've called us to. And so right now, by your Spirit, we're asking that you would cut those things away. You would prune them away. Father, you're the gardener. We're the vine. You come and you are the vine dresser. You prune away that which does not bear fruit. And we're asking that you would do that right now, Holy Spirit. Prune it away, Lord. God, where there's been demonic attachment or manipulation, we break the power of that now in Jesus' name. You are not a prisoner. You are not a victim. Be released from that. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you come right now? Come, remind people of who you say they are. Remind them, Lord, of who you say they are. Thank you, Jesus. He's here. He's here. Holy Spirit, just come right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you'd say to me, Pastor Jamie, I'm like a prodigal. I've been doing my own thing. Yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, I'm called, all that. But I really have been running the opposite direction, I haven't been doing what God told me to do. I've been going the opposite way. I want to come to myself. It says that the prodigal son was in a broken place, and he realized he was so far away from home. He's so far away from what God had called him to. But then suddenly he remembered the kindness of his father. And he thought, I bet my father would take me back. He came to himself. He remembered where he was from. And when he did, he went running home and the Father met him to restore him. That same thing is happening to you today. You'd say to me, you'd been going the other direction, but today you're turning your heart. You're remembering who God made you to be. And you want to come home. If that's you, would you just wave at me right now? I want to pray for you too. Yeah, come on, all over the place. Yes, yeah, yes. There is another group of people that you got brought in here today, and maybe you're visiting, maybe you came with a friend, and you say to me that you have never surrendered your life ever to Jesus. That just hasn't happened. But today, you're recognizing, man, I want that. If you want to come to the Lord for the first time today, if you're going to surrender your life to Jesus today, would you just wave at me real quick? Is there anybody in here who's surrendering your life to Jesus for the first time today? If you've raised your hand during this time right here where the Holy Spirit's doing a work in you, again, I said I wanted to pray for you. I do want to pray for you. I'm going to ask that you quietly just slip out from where you're at and come forward right now. The Holy Spirit's doing something. There's a stirring. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be ashamed of it. Seriously, God's doing a work right now. If you've been far away from the Lord, you're coming home, you've had something restraining you, and you haven't been running after what you know you're supposed to be running after, I'm telling you, it takes a line in the sand. Yeah, come on. There's a divine moment right now where the Holy Spirit is doing a work. It's a circumcision of the heart. He cuts away stuff so that you are free to go after what he called you to. Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody else? Yeah, come on. Okay, if you're in your seats right now, would you aim your hands up at these guys? We're going to pray for them. Holy Spirit, would you come right now? Come mightily and rest upon them mightily right now, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Holy Spirit, would you just come right now? Move powerfully, Lord. Move powerfully, Lord. Move powerfully, Lord. Move powerfully, Lord. You've used your craft to write on the human skin, but the Lord wants to use your life to write his name on people's hearts. He's called you as a shepherd. You are called. He's going to use you so powerfully to draw in people, those who never would don the face of the church, but the Lord is using you to reach into their lives, to write his name on their hearts. Holy Spirit of God, would you release that anointing, that breaker anointing? Jesus, Holy Spirit, just come right now. Come right now, Lord. Come right now, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Jesus. Okay, every voice, every person, if you came up, though, you for sure, pray with me out loud, okay? Every person. Especially if you found yourself, you didn't want to come forward, that's fine, okay? But you have something going on in your heart right now. You really, really don't want to ignore that thing. Respond to the Lord right now. It's him. Every voice out loud, would you pray with me right now? Father in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus, that he died for me. And this day I surrender my life. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my master. Forgive me. I repent. I do surrender. Come into my life. Now, Holy Spirit, would you come right now and seal this work? Holy Spirit, come. Bring the cutting away, even right now, Lord. The cutting away. They're responding to what you're saying to them, Lord. Bring the cutting away. That which has hindered them before, Lord, cut it away. Fully, fully, fully going after what you've called them to, Lord. God, we proclaim a liberty over them in Jesus' name, a holy liberty. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. 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 All right, would you guys just look up at me real quick here? Listen, after service, there is going to be baptisms out in the parking lot. We invite all of you to come, to watch, participate, cheer people on. But if you came here today and you wanted to be baptized, like, go for it. Don't hold yourself back. This is a day to draw a line in the sand, truly, to step forward into the new day, to leave behind the old and embrace the new life. All right? For those up here, if you want to receive baptism as well, it's absolutely for you, okay? All you got to do is when you walk out the door, there's going to be a table out there that just let them know you're there to be baptized, okay? And then they'll tell you the rest, and it'll all work out, okay? Would you close your eyes with me right now? And I just want to release a blessing over you. Father in heaven, I bless your people. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May his favor shine on your life and set you apart, and his countenance go before you, that you would know his smile, that everywhere you go, you would advance his kingdom, that everywhere you go, his peace would reign and rule. We decree this right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And anybody who dared to agree with that said, amen, amen. Come on, can we give the Lord a good clap?